All right, everybody, let's jump into this week's episode where I am going to be answering more of your questions because this format just seems to do really well on this particular cast. And I love that. I'm also going to talk about navigating the holidays and how you fall into certain holiday archetypes, why that is, the patterns that are behind them, and then we'll get into the Q&A after. So first, I want to talk about Chapter 9 that I just launched on my Substack that is all about the nexus of narcissism and how it operates inside of family systems. I'm going to address this topic again and ongoing because many of you that I work on have come from narcissistic family members, and that has deep implications on our subconscious belief systems. And it is amplified in the field, specifically around holidays, because if you grew up with a grandiose or narcissistic type or covert narcissistic type of parent, which I go in depth in Chapter 9 of the book, then it is all about their image. The holidays will bring out the most vicious level of self-centered narcissistic behavior, and then it will also bring out the type of the implications of growing up with that type of behavior. So for example, if I'm going to link in how we have grown up with narcissistic family members and then combine that with the holiday archetype, which I've narrowed down into four, but there are many different ones. There's holly hostess, which can't sit down, which 23% of you online said that you were. There's frozen Frida, who is in freeze response around the family, which is 21%. I don't know, but I'm exhausted after. This would be my fawners. You guys are 46%. Okay. And then hold my breath, Betty. These are the freezers also. So freeze fawn. So there's kind of variations of the freeze fawn, and then hold my breath, Betty, or I don't know, I'm exhausted after. Those two could be your flight. So in a flight response, you're kind of avoiding, you're kind of keeping yourself busy. And then I don't know, but I'm exhausted after is kind of a combination of them all. You kind of show up. There's an aspect of you that has anticipatory level anxiety. So you'll get pre-anxiety, and or you'll show up, you'll be really happy, you'll keep it 75 and sunny, and then afterwards, because of that inauthenticity, it drains the hell out of you. And so many of you are bouncing between archetypes, but the holly hostess will grow up with an emotionally available parent, typically. Okay, this is just statistically based on sessions, and or an emotionally immature parent. Okay, so both. And usually they're the oldest or the one that has the golden child type of archetype, where they feel like they want to host, they have the obligation for the family, they want to make sure that they're doing everything right, they have everything down to the detail perfected, the tree looks beautiful, the table looks beautiful, they have the obligation to host, and they don't want to make waves, so they do it. So typically, they will withhold the resentment, okay, they will just show up, fuck it, let me just get in there and get it done, and look perfect, the house looks beautiful, the table looks beautiful, everything looks great. And then everyone comes over to their house, they host, everyone, you know, certain conversations ensue, and then the house is left a mess and they don't get thanked for that. It's just an expectation and an obligation. And the emotionally immature and or emotionally unavailable parent, especially if you come from a divorced family, will arrive at these events, these holiday events, whether it's if you're splitting families, one goes to Christmas Eve and the other one goes to Christmas, or you have a merged family and everyone is spending the holiday together. At the end of it, it really all comes down to the narc looking good and the family looking good. And the payoff for holly hostess is that she gets the accolade of feeling like she did her duty for the family, him and or her, okay? Feel like they did the duty. And they will get the accolade of everything looking, oh, this looks really beautiful, thank you so much for hosting. And then at the end of it, it leaves them completely, deeply unfulfilled because there's always criticism involved. Well, why don't you sit so-and-so there? Why don't you sit, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and so? Well, those people should be there. So it's inevitably going to come with criticism. So whatever you're doing is not enough, and or whatever you're doing is wrong. And so it chips away at holly hostess's self-esteem, because he or she is going to continue to level up next year. Well, next year we'll do this. We'll add another activity, or this is going to be so great. Or there's so much pre-planning in terms of how we're going to manage so-and-so and manage so-and-so because of the emotional triggering and the narcissistic behavior. So essentially, it's almost like one person decides to be a handler for the unruly narcissist that's coming in. And if you have multiple narcissists, then it's just a total and complete dumpster fire. And Holly Hostess ends up moving into frozen Frida and is so exhausted after holding her breath, Betty, and then is so exhausted after that, you know, it takes months to recover. And then the whole thing happens again for years until a boundary is set. So you're going to see the family systems play out, not necessarily with narcissism. If that doesn't apply to you or you don't relate, you will see it with the roles that we play in our families. This is chapter 8 in the book, which is all about the identified patient, the golden child, the scapegoat. So the golden child will typically handle, be the over-responsibility, self-abandonment, martyr type. The scapegoat will be the self-abandonment, very critical, but like performative type. And then the IP will reference off of some type of illness. And then essentially either those roles will get transcended or they'll swap roles or they'll have dual roles again until they are healed. And I'm particularly, again, sensitive to the scapegoat and the IP because that was very much my role early on. And we can be perceived as being very selfish because we are taking so much time for ourselves to just try to figure out and heal and try to make meaning out of our environments because we are looking around most of the time like, what the fuck is going on? Am I adopted? I feel alien in this family. And then eventually that you don't feel that way anymore. But the road gets very narrow with family members as you continue to heal. And the key to navigating family systems and the key to navigating the holidays, especially inside of toxic family systems or with emotionally immature family systems, again, EIFS, emotional immature family systems and toxic family systems, is to be able to uphold a boundary and then let that boundary land and not prevent a crisis and uphold that boundary no matter who it may potentially hurt or affect. And I have had to do this for many years, and it's not easy and it's not pretty. But when you double down on yourself and you bet max and you put all the chips on the table, believe me when I say it'll disrupt, but it'll be the greatest thing that will ever happen because it's truly catalyzing. So at some point you have to decide if the mind-numbing 75 and sunny conversations are going to be good enough for you, that's okay for you, or if you're actually interested in something deeper and are willing to take the necessary actions and contrary actions for yourself and the family that you're building. It could just be you and your inner kiddos for a while, right? And your cat or your plants, doesn't matter, or partner. Like, you're going to have to decide if that's enough for you for a little while. I'm not saying to like isolate yourself from your family members by any means. Some of you guys might have to go into no contact because it's just so bad. Some of you guys are separating from family, from partners, and creating these different divisions for yourselves, and all that's awesome. And there's also healing inside of family systems. So that is a little bit harder, I'm not going to lie. And the reason why it is because you will constantly be up against the fact that you're going to have to do all the healing and people may or may not meet you. And you're going to have to witness that. And that's why it's painful. So at some point, there has to be a reconciliation within yourself, which looks like this. I can no longer go to the other side of the bridge and pick up what you're unwilling to carry and carry it back to the middle side of the bridge where I'm asking you to meet me. You're no longer willing to do that. So that is painful, but you kind of have to choose your heart, because if you're in it to not self-abandon yourself, eventually there's going to have to be a decision that's made. What that looks like for you, I don't know. So it could be that you set such clear emotional boundaries and are willing to meet people where they are, but it doesn't affect you the same way. So that would be a different type of healing. And or it means that you take other actions that are necessary for you to be able to stabilize, come back to yourself, level up, and then re-enter into the family system in a way that honors you. Okay? Which I'll talk about again on another podcast. But I want to go into some other questions, and you guys brought in a lot of really, really good ones. So let's get into it. And by the way, just as I pull these questions up, 2025 is going to be lit, you guys. I just can't even the momentum I feel in my body with what I'm going to be offering you guys and how I feel it's going to really transform is really, really powerful. Like, I am so grounded as fuck right now. I'm just ready to take you all to the stratosphere. So look out for that. If you're not a part of the email list, please do. Please re-listen to these podcasts. There's what of them, 90. There's almost, we're approaching 100 episodes now of really good content. You know, there's loads of clips. There's behind the scenes on sessions. There's free meditations in here. There's loads of stuff on narcissism. There's, you know, it's just, it's a really good, valuable tool. People are transitioning by listening. And if that's you and you're nodding along, you listen to these on a walk, you can have these on low. You could have these in the background. You can you literally can start to transform yourself for free. So love you. Okay. So first question is, how do you stop absorbing family members' bad energies? Okay. So typically when you are walking into a family system and they have no real spiritual practice or no awareness and you are absorbing their bad vibes, it's because you're not holding your space. So I have talked a lot about holding your space on the Awakening series LFG. I believe it has, there's another Awakening series where I talk about holding your space. I think I have a podcast episode on that. But what that looks like is you are aware of where your body is and where your spirit body is and where those two things combine in a particular moment in time, right? In the now. And you are conscious of the fact that the edge of that spirit body that is like 12, you know, arms length distance all the way around you and kind of the shape of an egg and where your physical body is, that that boundary cannot be penetrated. And you can do that by setting up various protections around you, understanding the basic mechanics of space-time, all the basic stuff that I teach, which there will be a place for you guys in 2025. So again, I'm launching 4 programs. I'm only going to be launching these 4 programs. I'm not going to be doing anything else. Very little one-to-ones will be available. You've got to get into the groups and start transforming at a different level. We need the momentum of a group. You guys need to be doing this work consistently. You cannot rely on me just to have sessions and I'm coming in and just being a crisis manager. That's not how this work is going to transform your life. And we're certainly not going to be able to do it at the level that we're doing it at the pace that you guys want to go. You want to suffer less. You want to have more synchronicities. You want to transform all areas of your life. I know what you want. I know you want access to yourself. I know you want to have a deep sense of purpose. I know that you want to maintain joie de vivre, that you want to maintain a sense of balance and neutrality, that you want to be able to see yourself differently. And I know a lot of you want to come into your gifts and share that. I know you want to learn what I do. I know you want to learn how to read frequencies. You have to learn how to read yourself and you have to learn how to read other people. Okay. And so all of the programs that I'm offering are going to teach you how to do all that. And by the end of 2025, you are going to be vastly unrecognizable to yourself. And I promise that there will be a level of trajectory of unshakable self-belief. And from that place, all right, from that place, let's say you go from 50% belief, 40% belief, or 70% belief to like 99.9, you can have a fantastic fucking life with that. But when you move into 100 and you're full send on yourself, it's ridiculous. That for me was this last year's integration. People can feel it. I've already gotten messages around it like, Tally, something is different with you. And I go, yeah, I had to do a tremendous amount of work on myself this past year. And the grounding and the anchoring that I feel is the reason why this system has come in is because I'm available for it now. And I'm like stable and rooted and ready to take you guys again to the stratosphere. So when it comes to upholding your own boundary, this is about you feeling empowered in your own space. Okay. No one can actually take your energy or zap your energy from you unless you let them in. And a lot of times this will come from very controlling, very pushy, very narcissistic family members. So if you have an empath program, okay, if you have starseed heritage, I see this a lot. If you have a service contract, right? If you're the humanitarian archetype, if you have, you know, if you're like the caretaker of the family, then it will be a little bit harder for you because you'll be deeply, deeply affected. Your emotional center is very, very heightened. And so we have to do some work on reprogramming the empath contracts that are running in your field. So I've done that a lot. I have two podcasts on empaths plus an empath meditation. So go listen to that. Okay, so the next one is how to deprogram the guilt and obligation I feel towards my emotionally immature mother who gaslights me. So you will love chapter 9, read that, of the book, but how you deprogram that is to start looking at the patterns of why you feel guilt and obligation. So guilt and obligation are actually shame. So you would want to go in and deprogram and do some work around shame, because what you're feeling is you're feeling the younger version of her feeling unfulfilled and unmet. And then that is bringing up guilt and shame for you around holding a boundary. And so you feel obligated to just show up and be the bigger child and be the healed one because she can't show up for herself. So what you're actually asking here is, how do I set a boundary without feeling guilty? And you do that by not abandoning your inner kiddos. You kind of have to decide and choose you first over her. And when you do that, she's going to witness that, and your family will change anyway. When you clear a pattern, you're going to clear it in all directions, ahead of you and behind you. So the lineage behind you gets the ripple effect, and the lineage in front of you gets the ripple effect. And they have the opportunity and possibility to grab that frequency available that you've made available for them and change. Otherwise, they won't. And that will be another kind of hard reality to face, is you will awaken without family members. You will awaken without kids. You will awaken without partners. Okay, it doesn't mean you love them less, but it means that you may oscillate faster than them, but somehow the balance between the pair of you creates enough alchemy to sustain a good, happy life. I'll tell you why that is. Because if you have found my work, if you have found me, there's something in me that you know, feel, understand, or are curious about in my ability to be able to catalyze change in you. So I will say, from personal experience, which is my greatest strength at this point, is the fact that I've just been through so much. And part of my agreements with myself and the all that is that I will go through things, come out on the other side, master them, and then be able to see them so clearly in other people. I have to physically experience it. So there is a relentlessness that certain people that I've met have, who are operating at high levels of their lives. And with this work, those who really break through faster have a level of tenacity. And what you're going to find is, as you continue to awaken, people will tap out, because there will be a lot of cognitive understanding and very intelligent people that you will surround yourself with, possibly. But they have very, very little interest or ability to be able to sit with themselves, like truly, truly sit with themselves in the fire. They do not like to feel uncomfortable. They do not like to feel detox. This is where the expectation and a little bit of the narcissism comes in, or a lot of it. And they cannot sit in the fire with themselves, but they demand vulnerability and emotional availability from other people. And so this is the lie and the delusion in the space. So if you're around people who just crave authenticity and want connection and want to be able to have the validation of being able to be incredible space holders, but can't sit in the fire with themselves, is a very clear indicator that they're unwilling to look at certain things. And that is, again, something you're going to be able to see along the way. So how do you deprogram that? I would say I would point you to shame, and then you would be a really great candidate for my new signature program that's coming out, and or the program that's just below it, the High Voltage Mastermind, would be a really good program for you as well. Okay, next question. How do I manage what feels like regressing into old dynamics / roles, like it can derail progress? Okay, so this is actually a really good question. You will feel like you are regressing into old patterns, but from my perspective, if you think as everything as a sphere, okay, and a spiral. So you're spiraling through time, and you're oscillating at various individuated rates. And sometimes when you feel like you're stuck in a loop, it's because you are in a concentric circle type of pattern. You're oscillating, but you're kind of going in the same, you're kind of like, again, stuck at a very specific level. But you may feel like you're back and regressing into old patterns, but you're at a different level of resonance within that pattern's expression within you. So if, let's say, before you were oscillating at a level 2 around self-abandonment, and this time you jumped up to level 5 and you're experiencing self-abandonment, what you think is the same pattern of quote-unquote self-abandonment is presenting itself in a different frequency. So it's asking you to become more acute. It's asking you to delete at a different level. It could be, right? It's like a facet of a diamond. You're smoothing out all these different aspects of what this pattern has, let's say, presented to you to transcend so you can clear it and move into like level 15. And it's not linear. It's not hierarchical. I know we all like to think linear, like I'm going to go from level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 15. I'm going to graduate. It's not like that. This is an infinite game. And however, the idea is that you will start to understand the mechanics of what this is so clearly and see the patterns so clearly that you will know how to clear for yourself. And that is where the party starts. That is where the party and truly life begins. Is it's not about me being able to help other people. It's all I wanted was to be able to access myself and clear myself. And because it was made so clear to me that I was going to have to do something with the information that I have and this whatever, this access, that I just can do it. And so I will do it. I will serve the all that is in this way. But accessing and clearing yourself is the mastery. So I would say, look at the version of you that wants to judge your progress and then reverse engineer how far you've come. And let's say pick a particular pattern, right? You're not regressing. You're only regressing if you feel like you are repeating the same pattern and not getting any change. So for you to create behavioral change, you have to step into contrary action. To step into contrary action is how you're going to experience contrary behavior. And the catalyst to stepping into contrary action is to first being aware of the pattern. So if you're aware of the pattern already, that's like 90% of the game, right? I have a whole program about pattern recognition coming out for 2025. Y'all are going to love it. But if you're aware of the pattern already and you're aware of the fact that you think you're regressing, again, that's huge progress. So look at how far you've come with that particular pattern. And then the trick for you, the pain for you, the uncomfortability, and this is the frequency where you're going to have to like step into some courage and into some change, is you have to step into contrary action the moment you start to see that you want to revert back into the pattern. So confirm deleting patterns. I can't talk about this enough, is if I delete shit for you, okay, which is what we're doing together, and I'm not doing it. Your highest self is dictating all of this stuff. So you guys can come for me all you want, but I'm like, God damn. You're welcome. Damn. I just compressed like 10 years of therapy into like one session, y'all. Okay, so confirmed deleting looks like this. Your highest self is accessing my data system in order to delete patterns at a very efficient rate for you. So if we clear a pattern for you around self-abandonment at the level of resonance that you're at, again, spiritual Pokemon, you're always expanding into different resonances and contracting. You're not jumping up levels like Mario Brothers, you're expanding. Okay, so you're expanding your perception of awareness, your ability to take in more information. That's what perceptual work is. That's what pattern recognition is. This is what pattern awareness is. People who have like 50 years or 40 years dealing with, you know, one client at a time have just a lot of data references, but you could have a lot of data references in a very short period of time if you have more access to yourself. Your brain and your perception is a very, 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 very fast processor. And the more light that you take in, okay, the faster you perceive. And then it's just a matter of practice and unshakable self-belief. There is a formula to pattern recognition, and I can't wait to teach you. Okay, so that said, we clear self-abandonment at the level of resonance that you're at. And let's say you don't confirm that. You're like, oh my God, Tally just deleted that. I'm going to go out and live my life. I'm going to get everything that I want. I'm going to wave my magic wand. She just waved her magic wand. Now I'm going to get the job of my dreams. That's not how that works. I will create some massive shifts for you, a catalyst for you. I know that I'm a catalyzer, right? We will work at very deep levels. I will, you know, we'll get what we can get done in the period of time that we are together. And then it's up to you to actually facilitate and continue to do the change. You have to actually, it's like if I'm doing surgery on you, which I do a lot on you guys, you're in post-op. So your follow-up care is up to you. right? The reason why I have so many offers, well, the four offers that I have that are coming up for 2025 is there's going to be a place for you guys all year. There's going to be a place for every single one of you that I have dealt with the last 2 years, that I have a very clear archetype of what my audience is and who I serve. There's going to be a place for you guys. So you don't have to struggle so much in between sessions with me. You will be held by a group. You'll be held and very supported. There will be plenty of meditations for you to be able to handle detox, and you'll be able to do it in a group, and you're going to be able to do it when you're not alone, and it's going to be very good. So as much as I love answering all of your questions, many of you take advantage of that, which is awesome. If I feel like that is being taken advantage of, then to keep the community safe and integral, we will put in protocols to limit the amount of interaction with people who are taking advantage of that. And that goes with anything, with what we are offering here at Super Freak, what I'm offering, what I want to do with you guys, and how you want to utilize my services to the best of your own expansion and ability. This is what we're here to do. We're here to grow together. So, okay, and let's get to a few more questions, and then we will wrap up. Okay, next question that came in on Telegram. Can you explain how and why we get pulled out of time, or people, places, and things pull us out of time? This is such a great question because it tells me and shows me that this person is actually keenly interested in what this work is and really trying to get a handle on the space-time mechanics. It's just like, just makes me so happy. So thank you so much for that question. And I'm going to give kind of an extended answer to this. So the background of space-time mechanics is I talk about the first entire part one of the book to get you guys into the language of what quantum is. Okay, just some founding principles of quantum mechanics to try to bridge the gap that the stars and the universe and the quantum side of things isn't out there in the middle of fucking multiverses in space. It is inside of us, and we are not separate from that. So we have been taught and veiled from that truth, that impenetrable, indestructible truth that we are this consciousness that is in all things, and we are the expression of that. And we are not separate from that. It is with as within, so without. And even if you go into any type of spiritual literature, it's going to explain in detail, either through parable, like in the Bible, or through story, or through shared experiences, that this reality is simply not what we think it is. It is truly a holographic Truman Show where we come in, we drop in, we grab a body, and we learn. Okay, the entire game of this reality is a perceptual one. It is a game of control, and it is a game of learning how to master our physical reality and our spirit bodies in a single moment of time, and then hold that single moment of time for as long as we can. So things will pull us out of time because everything is moving so fast. It's actually oscillating fast, kind of in variations at variegated speeds in this level of density. So we perceive it to be very real because it's vibrating extremely, extremely slow. When light slows down in vibration, it creates form. And when it increases in vibration, it creates light. So you want to bring in more light into form. And the more you understand how to hold yourself in time, then you can perceive and bring in more information. And a lot of you guys will feel that there's a shift happening in calls. You will have more light. You will have more energy. You will feel really excited. There will be a sense of euphoria. Yes, so this is very light. You feel very light. This is very high-level frequencies coming into the body and shaking up the density. So I say that because anything and everything will pull you out of time if you allow it to. So this comes back to holding your space with your family, is being deeply, deeply present. So things will pull you out of time because that person, place, or thing is holding or resonating at a frequency that is matching a distortion pattern in you. So that'll be a shadow pull, is what I call. Or you'll have a presence, absolute brilliance, like 0-point pull. Okay, so nature, for example, animals, connection with animals, they're so brilliant and so present in time that they will pull you into the 0-point of the now. That's why people feel amazing in nature. It's because that will pull you into time, okay, that's a 0 point pull. That's a light pull. That's a, you're pulling, you're getting voided into yourself basically. And then you're getting pulled out. So this reality is an inversion. We're basically living in an inverted matrix. That's what essentially is talked about at length in the Bible, for example, like the devil or the number six is simply just this reality of what holds this dimensional order in. I'm not going to get into this, like a totally different podcast, but the 369 is all different frequencies. It's a combination of codes that talks about how this reality works at different dimensional orders, different bandwidths of frequencies, for example. So we will get pulled out of time based on where we pull our attention, and where we pull our attention are things that accommodates the patterns that are running in ourselves. So that shadow pull, which is something I'm going to talk about in the system that I have coming up, the offers that I have coming up for 2025, your shadow pull will pull you into our accommodating patterns that are running in you that you are not aware of and need to be brought up into the surface. And a very clear indicator of how those things are getting, of what you are running is what you're attracted to, good and bad. Either that's going to be a reflection of the possibility that you are, or you will be running a version of you that needs to come up from the subconscious mind to the surface in order to be deleted out. So pay attention to what you pay attention to, okay? Kind of notice what you notice. And one of my old teachers, Richard Bartlett, of course, used to say, notice what you notice. And then another teacher I had would add on to that and say, notice the details of those things. But the idea is to start becoming very aware and then get into the layers of what pulls you out of time and how you get drawn out of your own center. So notice how you feel around for certain family members. Notice how you feel around people, places, or things, or friends. Okay. And then notice, like, what is running in me that makes me so uncomfortable around this person? So notice whatever you're reading in the other person, if you spot it, you got it. So everything in that case is a mirror. Not everything per se is a mirror. It's reflection, it's projection, it's, what's the third one? Observation. Okay. That's the third one I was looking for. So you're kind of in one of those states all the time when you're interacting, because the nervous system is what creates the holographic experience that you interact with. Okay. Imagine the nervous system is the electrical logic board of your computer, and it's producing the frequencies, okay, in combination of what's running in your overall programming that will attract people, places, and things to you to interact with in order to become aware of the patterns that you are running. That's it. It's literally like a walking computer that doesn't know what it is, and it's learning about what it is, just like the all that is. And you are a reflection of that. Everything is essentially one big feedback loop. That's why all you're doing in everything that you're doing is collecting data. You're collecting data. You're sifting through stuff, you're deleting stuff, and then you're reprogramming stuff, and then calling in new stuff. So this is kind of this constant pattern of cycling through information entropy, which is what I believe pure source consciousness is. It's just information entropy, endless computer system that's cycling on itself, whether or not it's a billion years of cycling, 100,000 years of cycling. It's just doing data dumps, and we do data dumps every eon, okay, which we are in now, and it's no different than Google or Apple collecting intelligence, and then they data dump to a cloud, okay, and then it omni-learns and meta-learns. This is essentially what the all it is, okay? We're no different than that. The more you can become aware of those things, and the very foundation of that is because we are sentient and we have consciousness and we are a fragment of the divine, which means that we can self-source. We don't need to outsource for power, which is what the darkness needs, okay? We can self-source. We are self-sustaining. We are like little forever running batteries, okay? I think I said piazzo, bioluminescent piazzo, biogeometric piazzo computers basically is what we are. But because we can do that, we can process information faster when we clear and access ourselves, or the more that we access ourselves. So how did I be able to do this, which is the last question I'll answer today, is I've talked about this a lot. So I would say go and get the book, and my story is all throughout there. Listen to the beginning part of the podcast. My story is all throughout there. And essentially, I'm no different than you guys. Okay. I just had an insatiable need and curiosity that I knew there was something beyond the question of what is this all there is? That was the question that I asked myself when I was very young. And I felt like I wasn't of this world. And I knew I was built for more. And I was relentless with the pursuit of that. And I know that my purpose is to awaken. I know that. Okay. I know that my purpose is to get to know who I am at a deeper level and then not stop. And how I express that, my mission here is to help humanity shift, awaken, and evolve by getting access to themselves, seeing themselves from an awakened state, falling madly in love with who that is, accessing unshakable belief, and then sharing that gift with the world. Okay, that's what I do for money, is by basically in the pattern recognition and empowerment business and clearing business. And I do that at the quantum level. And it's navigating the level of the unseen. I've had this gifting for a while. My whole life, it manifested through a myriad of different cognitive issues as a kid. You know, a lot of kids who have heavy metal toxicity or, which I was like fluoride as a kid, or ADHD tendencies or dyslexia or things like that, really just have unprocessed gifting. And I can look back now and I can connect all the dots and know exactly how I got to this point. And it's just kind of all good. So I'll say that you are finding or have found a quantum-based type psychology, okay? This type of quote-unquote frequency work, because there's something in you that recognizes what it is. And as this work becomes more and more, let's say, popular and less woo, it's because the level of consciousness that is, or the level of awareness that people are at right now collectively is actually much higher than we were 10 years ago. So there's an availability for it. So if you look at the people who started talking about a version of this, it all got relegated down to like, just think about happy thoughts. What you think about, you bring about, right? It's all about your thoughts. That new age stuff is what people could handle at the time. People want a different level of access now. And so this is what I'm here to help you facilitate. So this is a type of work that requires a tenacity. This is a type of work that is required for you to sit in the fire, okay, of yourself. Take wild accountability and responsibility for yourself. No one is going to hold your hand. I'm going to support you the best I can. But if I feel like you're taking advantage of that, I will set a firm boundary. And because I respect the work, and it's not going to help me or benefit me or you to constantly coddle insecure behavior. So if you ever look at how you train animals, okay, animals need leadership. And the best form of leadership is to cultivate autonomy. So it's very important to me. That's why I constantly say, like, I am not your guru, yeah. You are your own. I can help you access that version of you. But you have to learn how to sit in the fire of discomfort. And detox is nuts. And the cycle of detox, and to be able to calculate that and be able to give you a time period, is absolute fucking bullshit. So I'm not going to do it. I won't do it, because it's different for everybody. If you are controlling, fearful, or a controlled person, okay, that would go along with possession or anything else. If you have these types of dark patterns running and you have narcissistic tendencies, this work is going to be harder for you, because I am not going to pander to any of that shit. So you're here to shake up and awaken. And if that's something that you want to do, I'm rooting for you so hard. And I know the people that I've helped that get on the other side of that stuff have tremendous levels of freedom. So like I said, I'm no different than anyone else, except what makes me fucking extraordinary is the fact that I sit in the fire and I'm unwilling to I'm unwilling at this point to not clear patterns within myself. I'm not stopping. And I think that's what makes me unique. And I think people who are doing this work, who have reached a certain level within themselves, it's like I'm trying to tell you guys, you won't need books. You won't need to do, to get 19 different degrees. When you access yourself and you access all the information inside of your DNA, you are infinite. It will come to you. You will just know. I ask questions and then I wait for the answer. I can tune into a question. I can tune into you, and I can tune into the consciousness that you're running and then pull that question for you. It's not special. I just trust that I can do that. Right? And the information comes through me. I make myself available. That's taken a long time to cultivate, and it takes a long time to practice. So hang in there. okay, if you're in the shit right now, hang in there. You're already in hell. You already know what the alternative is, right? Eventually, those contractions become less. And there are kind of no guarantees with this work, but there is a promise of like, if you keep showing up for yourself, you will be wildly unrecognizable to yourself. And there's just way too much data to support that now. And I know that the frequencies are so set up for 2025, even just regardless of the year, they are so set up and have been set up for you to bet max on yourself and see wild results. So I love you all very dearly. You have to know that. Like, the expansion of the heart space for all of us is becoming so vast, and we need to come together and heal together. And I will do my best to be a light for you and a guide for you until you fly on your own. All right, you guys, I'll see you in a couple weeks. Big love.